not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about burn wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone does in, are they in harmony?
Hey, did you notice a little extra bonus going on there? That is an instrument that we call the harmonica, the harmoniosaka. And the reason that's out is to annoy. Actually, it is kind of that. Oh, shit. I had this little note card that I made my notes on. What I was going to talk about today, and it's over on the desk, so we'll have to just see what happens. So here's the deal. I have a neighbor who practices the trumpet quite often, and you know what makes me crazy about people practicing their instruments? I live in this apartment building where apparently a lot of people practice their instruments, which I find interesting. Because it's like, well, all right, on the one hand, it would be fucking annoying to have to go somewhere else to practice an instrument you're playing all the time, right? On the other hand, you know, it's annoying for me to have to go outside if I want to skip rope. But there you go. Also, these practice sessions can sometimes last like 2 hours. I don't think I would ever skip rope for 2 hours. If I could do that, I would be super fit on the cover of magazines, and I wouldn't be living here. I'd need to be somewhere beach adjacent so that I could take magazine photos and the occasional, wedding photo for a bridal magazine where I'm carrying some lady in the surf. Some lady I've never met. So anyway, I busted out this harmonica, which I've had in my desk for quite some time. And I remember buying this because I was like, I'd like to learn how to play a musical instrument. And I was like, what's a reasonable musical instrument to learn when you have zero space and that you could take anywhere, right? I was like, what's the portability here? Not that anyone's going to want to hear me play the harmonica, but whatever. And it's more, I think, because, you know, we all go through that acoustic guitar phase. I wonder what percent, especially of dudes, have owned a guitar at some point in their life. I bet it's like 70% have at some point owned a guitar. And I think if it was like, I don't know. So anyway, I bought this harmonica and have never even attempted to play it. I don't know why. It's like, for me, I guess musical instrument is kind of like gym membership for other people, where it's sort of like, well, I pretty much spent as much time as I could researching this online to find out my best option, and feel like I did that, and that's kind of already a workout, and I just don't want to do it. So that's where we are. But yeah, I don't know. I don't like the trumpet practicing. Partially because it's just, you know, a noise. But trumpet practicing and like jazz trumpet practicing is not... In my highly musical opinion, there's a reason that someone like the guy who's practicing is never going to be good at the trumpet. And the reason is... he plays like half of a scale and then he just stops and then you hear nothing for like 30 seconds. Then he plays half a different scale and I'm like, I know what you're doing right now. You're stoned. You're watching Orange is the New Black with the subtitles on and just playing the occasional. And he's not playing like I have not heard one song. I've not heard a song. I've not heard a trumpet line that sustains for more than probably 15 seconds at a stretch. I've heard some extremely high notes and annoying shit, but not one fucking song have I heard. This is why I think this kind of music is bullshit, or why you'll never be that great. It's like, well, who's going to go listen to a concert, or who buys a CD with like a 15-second song on it? Jesus Christ, I made a crappy commercial for an Amazon ebook that I made. It's 45 seconds long, for God's sakes. I mean, you could at least put, if you're not putting as much effort into your thing as I put into a digital ebook about fucking little boy ninjas, a Three Ninjas fanfic where no one has sex, you're not going to make it. I can promise you that. That's not even the minimum. That's sub-minimum effort required. And if you can't pull that off, you're fucked. So as you can hear from the coughing, maybe, we were gone for a little while because I had one of my famous Peter Dirk death colds, which seemed to be somewhere between 3 and 4 times a year. I get a terrible cold and just have to sleep it off for like a week. And then kind of go back to work, but I'm not 100% for probably like 2 or 3 weeks. This one was a good one. It was solid. Basically just spent 3 days in bed. I would lay in bed till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, get up. I would eat some food, but I had to eat the food in bed because that's really all I could stand. And then reach with all my strength and put the container on the counter and then get back in bed until I would probably repeat this process again during the day and then go to bed. I didn't leave my apartment. I think I left my apartment once in 5 or 6 days. And by that, I mean leave the interior of my apartment. Like, I did not go outdoors, period. Not to take out the trash, none of that shit. It sucks because I gather, it seems to me like some people get sick and then call in sick to work, and they're not like totally healthy, but they're healthy enough that they're like, you know, I could kind of enjoy the fact that I was watching a TV show or whatever. Like, I couldn't do anything. I would just pass out and fall asleep and then wake up and be miserable and then go back to sleep. The one thing that being sick, I'll say this. When you're sick for like day 4 and you just, you fevered and all this shit, and you just think about dying. I think about dying and I'm just like, I don't know. This seems peaceful right now. Like, if I closed my eyes and just died, that wouldn't be so bad. And this isn't like a suicidal thought. This is like a comforting thought of like, maybe dying won't be so bad because if I'm in like terrible pain, I'll just be like, okay, I'm ready for this to stop, and this seems like the only exit, so here we go. But yeah, and I do not... Here's what I don't want, by the way. The worst part of being sick like the way I am, which this has been my entire life. Anyone who's known me my entire life will tell you this is how I've been since I was like a child. You know, I was sick a lot when I was a little kid. I had like ear infections and throat infections and all these things. And, you know, it was like a, maybe we should get his tonsils out. Maybe we shouldn't. And I'm like, Jesus, you guys shouldn't have fucking done that. Why didn't you do that? I do want to just go in and have like, I want to have a surgery, you know, where I get my tonsils out. But then when you're out, they can just do all the other shit, right? All right, let's have my 6-month dental appointment while I'm out and they can just fucking do whatever needs to be done in there. You know, getting to that age where they got to check the butt when you go in for a physical, why not get the butt checked? They got to swab the pee hole out for some reason. Let's do that. You know, let's just do it all. Let's get it done. Let's do it all at once. If they're going to do like a colonoscopy, let's get that done. You just do everything. Just why go through all these things when you're, you know, wide awake? Or semi-awake. Just do it when I'm all passed out. This has to be a service for like the ultra rich that's possible, right? Because I will tell you, when I had my wisdom teeth out, it was great. You go in a chair, they put the needle in, and 2 minutes later, you're completely dead to the world until you wake up in a haze 4 hours later or 2 hours later or whatever. And then you just go home and sleep, and then you wake up and you feel fine. You're like, wow, that was some serious sleep. Anyway, like the worst, and that's like sleep is another thing like this, right? Where everyone's, you know, when you tell someone, I'm a night owl, they're like, they think, oh, what that means is he's out partying late every night or something like that, right? Like he's just up drinking, he's up playing video games or something like that. And it's like, no, I'm just awake. And when I can go to bed at 10, and you know what I do? Just lay there. And this doesn't change over the course of a week, because if there's ever been a hard reset on your sleep pattern, it's being sick as fuck for like a week and sleeping all goddamn day, right? Like I was going to bed. I mean, I wasn't even going to bed. I would just be in bed at 6 p.m. because I'd been in bed since 3 p.m. and stayed. If there's ever been a hard reset where it's like, well, I'm, you know, and I haven't been drinking any caffeine or anything like that, that's it, man, and that doesn't do shit for me. As soon as I start feeling better, I just stay up later and later. And, you know, I even looked online because the quality of the sleep I get is garbage. I didn't really realize until I started sharing a bed with someone else that most people probably wake up like once or twice in the night, not like every 30 to 60 minutes, and stay awake for several minutes too. And not everybody wakes up from every single sound that happens in the room or, you know, every time my partner rolls over, I wake up. Like that goes without saying, totally. Her every alarm, her every phone notification wakes me up. And it's not the same the other way, right? Like my stuff doesn't do that to her. So you start looking up these things, you know, and then you read this crazy bullshit on the internet. Like there was something about like, well, some people, humans used to, like in, I don't know, fucking agrarian days or something, farm days, maybe caveman days, I don't know. They used to go to sleep for a few hours, wake up for a few hours, then go back to bed for like 4 or 5 more hours and then wake up in the morning. And I was like, should I try that? And then I was like, no, that's fucking stupid. Because the thing is, and it was like, maybe you should try it. And it was like, oh, that's a great idea, except for how is that ever going to work? How could you ever do that if you have a job? I don't think you could. I don't think that's possible. Like I get home one night of the week, I get home at 9 and have to return to work at 8. That means there's 11 total hours. You know, let's just be crazy and assume I can be in bed and sleep an hour after I get home. And then wake up only an hour before I need to be at work, right? So that's 9 hours. So if I woke up for 2 hours in the middle, that's 7 total hours of sleep. That just doesn't seem like that's going to happen. That doesn't seem very realistic. And, you know, you read these other things like, oh, don't look at a screen before you go to bed. And it's like, okay. I'm sure that's the problem. I'm sure it's the visual effect of a screen as opposed to, you know, looking at just the fact that I was reading tweets about something I don't care about for like 45 minutes when I should have been asleep. I'm sure it's the visual effect of the screen, not the psychological effect of me being a fucking idiot and not, you know, time going fast and whatever. But with sickness, it's the same. When you tell someone you get sick, and this is a thing that happens to you a lot, oh, do the remedies come out. Oh, my God. All the helpful remedies. And every time someone starts talking about the remedies, I'm like, listen, I appreciate it. I have tried fucking everything, and not one thing has made 1 ounce of difference. But it doesn't matter. They still have to tell you what their thing is, you know? Oh, drink a lot of water. I one time, very early in my relationship with Poon Master Flex, I was trying to get over a sickness because we only had a couple days to hang out before she was going on a trip. And you know how early in a relationship, it seems like there are these times where you're like, this might be a crucial time for us to hang out together. Because if she goes on this trip and, you know, we've only gone on a couple dates and then I don't see her for a week and then I don't see her for a week on the trip, by the time she gets back, this will probably be over. And then looking back on it, you're like, that's fucking stupid. But whatever. So I was trying to get well. And during this time, I tried, I think, 4 or 5 different things. You know, they say drink clear liquids, right? I drank a 5-gallon jug of water in half a day. It's like, it looked like something that should be mounted on a goddamn back of a Jeep. And I drank the whole, and I peed so much and so long. I got up so many times during the night just to pee desperately. Like, I almost pissed the bed 4 or 5 times. I don't know how my body held the pee to that level before waking me up. Like, I don't know why my body wasn't like, dude, wake up, all right? You're going to have to pee, and it's going to be a long one. Instead, it just woke me up when it was like, oh, shit. We were asleep on the job, too. Turns out we fucking got to pee real bad. And then you would go pee, and I would be standing there for so long. Like, I'm super tired and super sick. And after a couple pees, I just started peeing sitting down because I was like, this takes too long. I tried that, no effect. I took probably an entire bottle of garlic pills during this time. I drink these drinks where I basically blend up a bunch of vegetables and protein powder, and I make a bunch of these and put them in the fridge and the freezer. Then, like, it's like a smoothie, but shittier, you know, and I drink this in the morning because it's like, whatever, let's get some more vegetables. This is another thing people will give you advice on. They're like, oh, well, you should just eat the vegetables, or you should do the vegetables this way. And it's like, listen, I know myself. I ain't gonna eat a fucking salad for breakfast. It's not happening. I tried it. It's not happening. So I could either get the vegetables this way or not at all. If this is 1% better than not at all, I'm doing it. If nothing else, I'm getting water, right? So anyway, I started blending up these garlic pills in this vile concoction. And my God, it turned the whole thing brown. And it tasted hot, like spicy, you know, where it burned. I mean, garlic, I like garlic. And this was like, it seemed more potent than just eating garlic. It was horrible. And I had oil of oregano in there, too. That was another one someone told me their mom did. And, you know, basically I was drinking between all the things. I think there's some parsley in there. And it was like drinking a goddamn liquid pizza. Which sounds great and isn't, I'm here to tell you. I mean, it's like drinking a horribly made liquid pizza. You know, the worst liquid pizza. And when you say a phrase like that, ooh, this is the worst liquid pizza ever made, that's bad, right? A liquid pizza is bad. The worst liquid pizza ever made is goddamn ridiculous. So I've tried those things. What else have I tried? I mean, there was a time I got sick. This was like another romantic issue because I was supposed to go visit my girlfriend. She was 8 hours away driving. And I drove and I was like, I can't be sick. You know, I got to go visit her. And I basically just took a concoction of every different thing at the store that wouldn't put me to sleep. And, you know, Airborne and what's that, Zicam or whatever that thing is that's supposed to make you get over the flu fast. And, you know, you can go in there and buy all these things and spend like $80 and then nothing happens. But, you know, and this is the thing. Everyone who tells you about it basically won't believe that you've tried the things, A, and B, if you have tried the things and it didn't work, it's because you didn't do it right. It's not because these things don't work or don't work for me. It must be that I have somehow incorrectly applied these things, right? Oh, you're supposed to take Airborne before you get sick. Well, how the fuck am I supposed to know when I'm going to get sick? How am I supposed to know that? Like, that is the biggest scam ever, where they're like, well, it's proven that if you take it right before you get sick, well, yeah, no shit. if I took it and I just guessed and I was like, maybe I'll get sick next week, I better take airborne. And then I'm like, hey, look, I didn't get sick. Well, what does that even mean? That just means I didn't get sick. I get sick all the fucking time. And even that doesn't even work for me. The amount I get sick is super high. And even that, I'm like, well, statistically, if I'm sick, you know, let's call it 8 weeks out of the year, that's still a relatively low percentage of the year. So the odds of me picking the right week to start taking these things seems pretty low. But yeah, and people will say like, well, this works for me or that works for me. And I'm like, I don't think you guys have the immune system I have, you know. You're like the Wolverine to my Professor X. Did he just get a bad cold and that's why he's paralyzed or something? Who's the sickest person? Who gets sick all the time? Aunt May? I'm basically Aunt May and you're Wolverine. And you're telling me like, well, you know what works for me is fighting sentinels all night, drinking beer and smoking cigars. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's not really my jam, but that's fine. Thanks for the advice. Thanks for the advice, good friend Wolverine. You fucking asshole. It's like that. You're Wolverine, I'm Aunt May, and you're like, well, I'm a young, healthy person with a healing factor, but here's how I would handle it. Oh, okay. Perfect. That, you know what? That works great for me. And you know what? The advice is really appreciated quite a bit. So here's the deal. We've got some more stuff to talk about. But because I spent 2 weeks being sick in bed, I had to wash all my bedding. And it's currently in the dryer. And I'm about to go take it out of the dryer. Because I'm not a dick, so I set a timer. And when the timer goes off, I take my clothes out of the dryer. Hear that, everyone who lives in an apartment? Don't leave your clothes in the dryer. Because I really want to throw them all over the floor. And if I'm still living in an apartment with shared laundry when I'm in, like, my 40s, that's going to happen. I can tell you that right now. And I'll just leave a note that, like, a business card. I'm just going to have business cards printed that's like, hi, I'm 40. I still live in an apartment. I know that makes me kind of a fucking loser. And I'm not putting up with this bullshit. So either find somewhere else to do your laundry or fucking take it out when it's done. You've got a 15-minute window, which I think is generous. We've all done that. Left it for 15 minutes. The thing I'm opposed to, we had old neighbors who we shared normal laundry. It's not like industrial style. With only them. It was them and us using it. And goddamn, they would just leave their laundry in there all day, right? And the laundry room wasn't super clean there. And that's not our fault. It was a weird setup there. But anyway, so it's not like you could just put it somewhere. You couldn't put it on top of the machine or like on a table or something. You just were like, well, I guess that's fucking in there. It made me goddamn crazy. It's like the sign of a bad person. There were some things to me that are the sign of problems. I was just talking to a friend of the show, Alec, about this. Because Poon Master Flex got a lip piercing. And I was saying, like, you know what's funny? Piercings and tattoos are the same but opposite. Because I think, like, a piercing, basically anywhere on your face is fine. Anywhere on your face is fine to pierce. It's not super weird, right? Anywhere not on your face is anywhere from somewhat weird to super weird, right? Whereas tattoos, basically anywhere but your face is open game. But anywhere on your face is weird. They're just opposite that way. We were talking about this because, like, okay, like, if I had a list of things that make someone a true villain, or, you know, that I'm like, this is truly a bad person, maybe it's not, they're not necessarily a bad person because they leave their laundry for hours in the dryer. I just suspect that this is the sign that they're a bad person. Another one of those things would be piercing your penis. Maybe I sound like, you know, Pops Dirk over here, but I just don't think you're ever going to convince me. And I try to be very open-minded, and whatever someone does with their own body is their own business. But I don't think you're ever going to convince me that someone with a pierced penis didn't have something going on when that happened. You know what I mean? Like something rattling around in their head that was abnormal and made them think, like, this is what I'm going to do. Because, boy, that just seems like a tough sell to me. There are a lot of things that I would do for a very low amount of money. You know what I mean? It's like, replace that 5 gallons of water with 5 gallons of piss and drink it. I would probably do that for less cash than piercing my penis. Almost certainly. You know? There are a lot of things that I would... I have no pride. I have no sense of self-worth. I have no, like, I'm not going to pierce my penis because it's beautiful. It's a object of art, you know? It's God shaped my penis in his own image. I don't think that way. I just don't want to pierce my penis. I feel like I'm in this weird position now where I'm defending not wanting to pierce my penis, which probably seems like an insane person saying that, because who the fuck, why would you have to say that? Why would you have to be like, you know what? I don't really want to pierce my own penis. Oh, really? Wow, okay. Rebel yell. Okay. I'm going to play some commercials for you guys. How about this, assholes? We have an event coming up on Helpful Snowman Radio, which is going to be the Helpful Snowman Radio filibuster. This is going to be a super terrible, super boring episode that will extend into as many episodes as it takes until some of you motherfuckers start buying some of my Kindle shit and reviewing it online. I don't care what you buy. I don't care if you read it when you buy it. I don't care if you review it highly. Just fucking do it. Just do that, okay? And then I won't have to punish everybody. Just make it happen. It's not that hard. You know, you can buy the cheapest ones. They're like 99 cents. Just do it. Just buy those things. All you have to do is click. It's one-click purchasing. It's very simple. So I'm playing these commercials. And if you don't like these commercials, number one, fuck yourself. But number two, just buy the things. And if the things are being bought, then I won't have to play the commercials anymore, will I? So here you go. You brought this on yourself.
It's me, Mario.
Oh, hey, Mario. How's it going?
Very good.
That's great.
Hey, I'm a thirsty. You got something to drink?
You know I do. Hey, guess what, Mario? I got a new book out in the Kindle store.
Very good.
Yeah, it is very good. It's called Digitally Stimulated. It's a brand new venture that I'm taking on right now.
Hey, who's that behind you?
Oh, that's my brother, Ian. He helped me write it. That's a thing that brothers do sometimes.
Have you seen Luigi?
Oh, fuck Luigi, who cares? Listen, issue 1 of Digitally Stimulated is out right now, and you can get it on your Kindle, Android, or whatever device. The great thing about a Kindle book is you can read it anywhere! We talk about Gears of War 2, Legend of Zelda, Duke Nukem Forever, the cliffhanger game. You know you want to hear about the cliffhanger game.
Hey!
What?
Oh no! I'm a fallen, and I can't get up! That is my impression of American advertising. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
God, you're a real bastard, Mario. To find out what people really thought about Ninja Sons, a new book from Peter Dirk, we decided to ask the only honest people we know, kids.
Whoa, yeah.
That's just hideous.
Okay.
Whoa.
I'm not laughing anymore.
They didn't put much effort and money into it.
Oh, too much kicking.
Oh my gosh, I look scary.
You look very stupid, but they look ugly.
This is pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
What?
so stupid.
They're samurais now. That makes sense.
Yeah, well, you know what? Kids are fucking dumb, okay? Go buy the book, Ninja Sons. Buy it. Fuck off.
Thank you for having us. Shit, I forgot to pick up my stupid fucking notes again. Alright. Here we go. Got him. Don't worry. Newsflash. I discovered that my trumpet friend might be in the upstairs hallway, like on the opposite end of the hall from me, which I would think probably means he's driving some people out there fucking crazy. I don't know. I can't imagine if it's as loud as it is here, which it's not loud. But it's annoying. Must be loud as shit up there. I heard my chair squeaking and thought it was trumpet. Just so you know how high quality the trumpet playing is. I'm glad I picked up this note sheet because I have something important that happened. While I was sick, the light went out in my bathroom. The light bulb. And so I went to get another one. I know this sounds pretty important, but just wait. You're going to hear how important it really is, which is super important. I would qualify it as super important. And I got a light bulb. So, you know, you have these choices now of light bulbs where they're like, well, this light bulb could potentially last 30 years under normal usage. And part of me buys it and is just like, well, I'm going to just leave this fucking thing on all the time. Because normal usage, hell, this is going to last at least five. I mean, this light bulb, if there's a God, will outlast the time I'm in this apartment. It'll still be there when I leave. Which is especially funny when I tell you that the light bulb that I elected to get was a green one. Why did I choose to get a green one? I'd like to blame the fever that was still racking my brain for just thinking that something was a good idea that clearly... Just saying it out loud describes how not good of an idea it was. I had this thing once on an Amazon wish list, and it was a shower head that has like color-changing water in it. And it's surprisingly inexpensive and surprisingly high-rated. So it just has like LEDs or something, so the water comes out like in rainbow or changing colors or something. And I was like, well, that would be kind of fun. And then you see something like that and you're like, no, I'm an adult. I don't need that. And I was like, yeah, I don't need that. But you know what? I've never taken a shower in a rainbow. And maybe I'd like to. And maybe you don't feel like grown-ups take showers in rainbows. And maybe I feel like grown-ups don't listen to me talk about that. So fuck yourself. But I never bought it. I think because I was like... What if it's a shitty shower head and a great light, which I feel like is a strong possibility? That would be super unfortunate. So then I was like, maybe these colored light bulbs will give me sort of a similar effect. And I don't know why I picked green. My bathroom is yellow, as all the walls in this place are. And so I had certain colors. I was like, well, red obviously would be crazy. That would be like I was in a dark room. Like a photo dark room, not a literal dark room. I mean, it would kind of be like I was in a... It's like a room that I picture like Johnny Depp probably has in his house or something. And then, I was like, orange, maybe. Blue, maybe? I was like, I don't know. That seems like I'll feel like I'm underwater or something. So just green was basically just the one that I was like, I can think of the least directly visually offensive things that will result from this. So that's what I'm going with. So I get to green and I install it. And basically, as soon as I turn it on, I'm like, well, that was a mistake. That's cool. As soon as I put it in there and then put the little bowl over it, you know, the little light cover, I was like, and turn it on, I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. And looking at this bulb and, you know, it's like, well, this will last for the next 30 years. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Good. That's perfect. So I've got 30 years of that. Just in case you think I'm overselling it or something, Poon Master Flex came over and used the bathroom and was just like, well, that's really reaffirmed to me that you make good life choices. And after doing that, I was like, shut up. Don't recommend buying a colored bulb for your bathroom. It's like kind of dark. You can't really see anything. It's kind of hard for me to tell sometimes if I'm done wiping or not, to be honest with you. So that's no fun. I do have a big announcement, by the way. 1 week from today is the Greeley Urban Classic, the second ever Greeley Urban Classic. Now, there's a Facebook invite for this event, but I know some of you aren't on Facebook or don't use Facebook or whatever, and or maybe we're not Facebook friends. If you want to come to this event, let me know ASAP through email, helpfulsnowman@gmail.com. It's a 18-hole mini golf tournament that takes place in the hood, headed towards downtown, through downtown, and then back. There are several bar stops on the way, as I'm sure you can imagine. There are several handicaps that will be given to players. You know, so I'll just give you one example. If you are the worst player on hole whatever, you will then be allowed to assign a handicap to another player for the next hole. And one of those handicaps is they will replace their golf club with a pool cue, right? And then they'll have to pool style hit their golf ball. So these are the kinds of things you can expect. I mean, they get better from there. You know, there are some garments that are very difficult to handle while playing. There are some other things like that. There's a trophy. There's a $5 entry fee, and this goes to benefit the Long Hopes Donkey Shelter, because who doesn't love a donk? So if you want to play, get in touch with me. Okay, I was sent an email by a listener that said, with the text, seems topical. Maybe you can take the survey on air for your podcast. And I said, sure. And then below is a forward from Wayne LaPierre, whose address is admin@nramedia.org. And it's a gun owner survey. Now it says free NRA knife special offer if you take a National Gun Owners Action Survey. And it says the person's name in all caps. And it's a letter. Right now we're facing an all-out attack on our Second Amendment freedoms. Gun bans, gun registration, legislation, court cases, the UN Global Gun Ban Treaty, Obama's executive orders, the freedom-hating media elite. The attacks are hitting everywhere, every day, underlined, dot, dot, dot. That's why I'm asking you to add your voice to millions of law-abiding gun owners through the NRA National Gun Owners Action Survey. Please take the survey now. Now, this text is all, like, bolded and center-justified, oddly. By answering this survey today, you're drawing a line in the sand, dash, making it clear to gun ban politicians across America that you're not going to stand by while they trample your individual liberties. Your survey answers offer crystal clear proof, hyphenated weirdly, to our elected leaders that if they push gun registration, licensing, and prohibition, they risk defeat on Election Day 2016. It's that promise backed by NRA membership muscle that stops gun ban politicians in their tracks. So I click over the survey, and it's like, you have to enter your information to begin first name, last name, email address. Now, my opinion on guns. I mean, in the wake of, you know, national tragedies, it's pretty hard for me to say. My feeling on most things political is like, well, we've kind of tried it this way, and if it seems to be working like 51%, then whatever. And when it seems to be working 49%, maybe we should just try it the other way, because what's going to happen? I don't really think the United Kingdom is going to try and reclaim us, or I'm not really sure which country would be trying to reclaim us at this point using like handguns or something. So that's not a thing. I don't really buy the whole thing of like, well, you know, I carry a gun because I'm not going to be a victim if someone shoots up my movie theater, which is like, I see what you're thinking there. And at the same time, still waiting on that story that's like, lone legal gun carrier saves the day. Like, that still hasn't happened. So we'll see. And overall, I do feel, okay, guns are fun to shoot. That part's fun. Like, target shooting is fun. I think it's, you know, an interesting thing to do. The ultimate problem I have with guns is, like, I don't think we should just be like, no one has the authority to decide who does and doesn't get a gun. I feel like it could be a little tougher to get a gun. It takes a lot more work to send in a manuscript to a publisher than it takes, you know, to publish a book of fiction than it takes to get a gun. That's crazy. I don't even mean that in like an artsy, you know, stupid sense like, oh yes, I'm just this limp-wristed liberal who's like, art is so much harder than guns. I just mean like, from a clerical standpoint, I feel like it should be harder to do, you know, Hootsuite is harder to set up than a gun ownership. That's insane. Doesn't really make any sense. I also listened to this interesting podcast, and it was a guy who's national security oriented and works a lot with the TSA and stuff. And basically his thing was like, you know, we can stop terrorist cells and we can stop legit terrorists because terrorists operate within a network, and a network's easy to find and shut down, or easier. A lone gunman who just this kind of snaps one day is basically impossible to prevent, because most of the time, nothing that they're doing is so out of the ordinary that like the FBI or someone like that is going to spend any time on it. Sadly, the weirdness of people who end up being lone nuts is not, you know, of course, retroactively seems pretty crazy, but beforehand seems like, I don't, you know, nothing really actionable here. So from that standpoint, I can see getting rid of guns. But from the other side, I'm going to just take the other side for a minute and pretend that I'm very pro guns. Like, I think I'm Second Amendment all the way. My feeling is still, I think there's like a pressure to own a gun if you're pro-gun. And I think that's kind of bullshit, because they're like, it's a right, not a privilege, right? So if it's a right, you have to do it. And I totally disagree with that. And the way I look at it is like, you also have the right to an attorney. I may never exercise that right. That doesn't mean that right isn't important to me, or that I think that right should go away. It just means I haven't used it at this point in my life. And I think that's, I wish gun owners kind of took a similar tack there in saying, you know what? I'm pro-gun, but that doesn't mean I have to own one, or it doesn't mean I have to buy a gun to support what I see as right. That's how I feel. Okay. I just read this great book by Chuck Klosterman, And he was talking about not voting and the arguments people make about not voting being a right and a privilege and like, well, what if everyone didn't vote? You know, and his response to that is like, well, no one makes decisions that way. That has nothing to do with anything. You know, if it's like, well, what if everyone thought the way you think? And it's like, is that happening? I don't think that's happening. Because if everyone thought the way I thought, we'd be in a different world. All right. So I'm going to take the survey. So I do have to enter my name. And I can't possibly imagine entering an actual name here, right? That doesn't make any sense. So I'm just going to put Pete, last name, Parker, email address. All right. I have a bullshit email address that I use for bullshit, and I highly recommend everyone get one of these. I hope it doesn't make me, like, check my email or something like that. All right. There's 12 questions. Okay, it says question 1 of 12, and I'm 8% finished so far. Do you agree that the Second Amendment guarantees your individual right to own a gun? Yes, no, or no opinion. Why does every survey think like, we should also add a don't know, no opinion? Because it's like, what good does that do you? That does no good. Do I think that the Second Amendment guarantees your individual right to own a gun? I mean, yeah, I think that's what it says, right? So I'm going to say yes. Question, I'm 17% done. Should the federal... Okay, so I was 8% done when I did no questions, and now one question, I'm 17% done. So I guess that question was 9%. So they have a different percent for these questions. Maybe it's how hard they are. Should the federal government have the power to ration the number of firearms you're allowed to buy? Yeah, I think so, right? I don't know. How many guns can I operate simultaneously? Or like how many different, you know, I understand, like if you're a hunter, let's say, a rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol do different things. But how many of those different things do I need? Like how many of the different types? So yeah, I'm going to say yes. Do you support laws that protect your fundamental right to use a firearm to defend yourself and your loved ones from a violent criminal attacker? I'm now 25% done. Boy. This is a tricky survey, because I can tell the way this is set up is like, do you support laws that protect your fundamental right to use a firearm? And it's like, well, do I think I should be legally allowed to shoot someone who is attacking me violently? I guess so. But do I think that the way those laws are set up right now is correct? No. So I guess I'll say no. I'm not going to get my free pocket knife that was advertised in this. Do you agree with politicians in Washington, D.C., who will say that all gun owners should be forced to register their guns with the government? Yes. Why wouldn't... What possible problem could that have? You have to register your car. I mean, come on. Do you oppose any United Nations treaty that strips the U.S. of its sovereignty and gives UN diplomats the power to regulate every rifle, pistol, and shotgun you own? UN diplomats? Do I really care what the UN says about anything? Motherfucker, I'm American, okay? What do you think? Some guy from France is going to be like, excuse me, diplomatic immunity, like fucking Lethal Weapon, and I'll be like, ah, shit, and then I just have to give him my gun? No. No, I don't think so. But also, I'm not aware of this. So do I oppose them? Not actively. I'm going to have to say no. I wasn't aware this was even a thing that we were stirring up concern about. Should NRA fight to defeat Senate confirmation of any judicial nominee who does not believe the Second Amendment guarantees your individual right to own a firearm? See, this is tricky again, because it's saying, well, that is what the Second Amendment guarantees. But is the Second Amendment right? Like, this is asking the wrong question, right? Like, all right, if I was answering this question as it is on the page, I have to answer yes. Because if the judicial nominee doesn't believe the Second Amendment guarantees your individual right to own a firearm, I question their ability to read what the law says. But this is, I think this is what's happening with guns, probably, is it's like they're asking these questions. But the real question isn't, is this what the Second Amendment says? The real question is what the Second Amendment says valid and correct for 2016? So I'm going to say yes, because I have to. I have to. I have to be honest. If there's one thing I am and one thing I have, it's integrity. Thank you. Should law-abiding citizens like you be allowed to sell or give your firearms to family members without being under the thumb of the federal government? Yeah, I think I should be able to do that, probably. You know, I think that, like, to go to cars, I think I should be able to loan my brother my car if I want to. Should I be able to loan him a gun? Sure. Why not? Do you think the federal government should ban standard capacity magazines that hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition? Sure. Yeah, probably. I mean, why not? What do you need more than 10 for? How many, you know, fucking Oregon Trail, I couldn't hit more than 10 animals on that shit. Do you think the federal government should once again impose a ban on commonly owned pistols, rifles, and shotguns? I'll say no. I don't think they should do that. Would you vote to reelect a member of the U.S. House or Senate who supports the gun ban agenda? Yeah, I would. Will you authorize NRA to use your survey answers to fight for your fundamental right to own a firearm for shooting, hunting, and personal protection? I will say no. Will you fight for freedom by joining the NRA today? You know, that's a great offer, but I'm going to say no right now. Okay. So I have to join the NRA to get my free knife. I also get a monthly NRA magazine. I can win spectacular gun prizes in NRA sweepstakes, NRA firearm training, 5-star benefits with valuable insurance and member savings, and free admission to NRA's Guns, Gear, and Outfitters show, and much more. Don't wait. Defend your rights. Join NRA today. I clicked on the thing. Okay, 1 year is $25. 3 years is $70. And 5 years is 100. So see, if you join for 3 years, over the course of that 3 years, you save $5. And here's what I don't understand. Okay, 1 year is $25, and then below that, it's like regularly $40, which I'm like, regularly when? This isn't the regular subscription? And yeah, if I join for, let's see, 5 years, I save $25. So $5 a year is basically what they've decided. $5 over 3 years, or I could save $25 over 5 years. And then I can choose a magazine. Wow. American Rifleman print edition. Oh, they have digital and print of all these. American Rifleman, American Hunter, America's First Freedom, and Shooting Illustrated. I mean, obviously, America's First Freedom. That seems like the one for me, right? Let's see what this is all about. I mean, NRA is not that expensive, I guess. Okay, you can't even click on this thing. It just... Second Amendment news plus legislative and campaign updates to help you make you a stronger and more effective gun rights defender. They do take PayPal. You can always make gifts to them too. There's specific state-by-state disclosures? What does this mean? Oh God, I'm not reading this. Oh, Colorado. Colorado residents may obtain documents from the Secretary of State. Okay. I do not care about this. So there you go. That's guns, man. That's what guns are doing. I am, after taking that, I am exactly as pro and anti-gun as I was before. That's made no difference. I don't know. What was the point of that survey? I don't understand the point of that. I guess it's just so they can be like, you know, we surveyed X people and here's what we found out. They think the Second Amendment is great. I think the amendments are kind of bullshit. To be honest with you, I want to I'm going to do this. If you don't follow me on Goodreads, by the way, and you have a Goodreads, please do it. Please rate some shit that I wrote. But also, all my Goodreads reviews get published to blog at helpfulsnowman.com. These are mostly worth reading, in my opinion. I mean, I wrote them. But, like, usually when I review a book, I don't talk about a book. I take the Dave Carney approach. He was this guy who wrote for this magazine, skateboarding magazine, Big Brother, is that what it's called? And he would review albums or something and just review. He would just write about whatever the fuck he wanted. Wouldn't even mention the album. Sometimes he would give it a grade of some kind at the end of his writing about, you know, the time he peed himself at the Grand Canyon or whatever. So anyway, this is a thing from the Chuck Klosterman book about the First Amendment. There's no amendment more beloved, and it's the single most American sentiment that can be expressed. Yet its function is highly specific. It stops the government from limiting a person or an organization's freedom of expression, and that's critical, particularly if you want to launch an exceptionally self-righteous alt-weekly or an exceptionally lucrative church or the rap group NWA. But in a capitalist society, it doesn't have much application within any scenario where the government doesn't have a vested interest in what's being expressed. If someone publishes an essay or tells a joke or performs a play that forwards a problematic idea, the U.S. government generally wouldn't try to stop that person from doing so, even if they could. If the expression doesn't involve national security, the government generally doesn't give a shit. But if enough vocal consumers are personally offended, they can silence that artist just as effectively. They can petition advertisers and marginalize the artist's reception and economically remove that individual from whatever platform he or she happens to utilize, simply because there are no expression-based platforms that don't have an economic underpinning. It's one of those situations where the practical manifestation is the opposite of the technical intention. As Americans, we tend to look down on European countries that impose legal limitations on speech. Yet as long as speakers in those countries stay within the specified boundaries, discourse is allowed relatively unfettered, even when it's unpopular. In the U.S., there are absolutely no speech boundaries imposed by the government, so the citizenry creates its own limitations based on the arbitrary values of whichever activist group is most successful at inflicting its worldview upon an economically fragile public sphere. As a consequence, the United States is a safe place for those who want to criticize the government, but a dangerous place for those who want to advance unpopular thoughts about any other subject that could be deemed insulting or otherwise. Some would argue that this trade-off is worth it. Time may prove otherwise. And I totally agree with that. I think that, like, the current system is fucked up. And I think what he's saying is, like, the First Amendment guarantees your ability to criticize the government. Right. But what it doesn't, the government doesn't protect you at all when you say something that's unpopular or whatever. If someone gets me fired from my job for saying something 100% legal in 100% legal way, you know, someone could still get me fired from my job for that. And I have no recourse against them. I can't say, wait a minute, you just hampered my freedom of speech. Which they totally do, though. I just don't like that the way the current system works is like, okay, well, who decides what's acceptable and what isn't? Just a faceless group of people. And if someone's offended by it, well, they're right. You know, there's not a lot of talk anymore about someone was offended and they're incorrect. Usually it's like, yeah, the offended party is correct most of the time. I think we kind of tend to go that way. And I'm not saying they're wrong to be offended, but I do think I'm a little tired of the saying of, like, freedom of speech doesn't mean freedom from consequence, because I think basically you're setting yourself up to be goddamn Judge Dredd of the internet, right? Well, I decide what's acceptable, and then I decide what the acceptable punishment is. So fuck that shit. So the First Amendment is the one that I think is the most important. And yet now kind of have think like, I think its intent is still really good, but it's not super effective in its intent. And so to say that the Second Amendment is probably also total bullshit is not a big stretch for me. Not a huge thing. You know, but at the same time, I don't know. If you're like a gun person or you're a gun owner, I don't care. I feel like if you listen to this, you're pretty responsible, right? So what can I say? What can I say about someone who listens to this show and loves it and owns a gun? How bad could you possibly be? No bad at all. All right. That's it, everybody. We made it. We made it together. We did it together. Have a good weekend. Asking the questions nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs in? Are they in harmony? Do, 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 do.